University of Georgia. Today I wanted to speak to you about the impact of cottonseed characteristics on seedling vigor, crop development, maturity, and yield component responses to nitrogen application rate under advisement of Dr. Snyder. So to get into the exploratory basis of why we wanted to perform this research, the problem itself is that altogether seed producers, they release commercial varieties for the general producers, the general public, at a rate that disadvantages individuals as far as a time for familiarization. In other words, you have a general farmer that wants to understand how a specific cultivar is going to react given his management practices on his independent or individual farm. Now, with this, under those management practices, I'm talking about irrigation. So say we have a cultivar like Delta Pine 1538. This farmer wants to understand how it's going to act for him. He might need one growth season, he might need multiple to understand how he can get it to perform the best for himself. But by that time has lapsed, we already have new cultivars on the market. So we need to understand how these new cultivars can operate or function under his given practices. Now with that, we look at a potential solution, which is really quite simple, by assessing growth and yield parameters of a cultivar, of a specific cultivar, to its seed chemical and physical characteristics. And by looking at those characteristics of the seed prior to planting, we might be able to form a generalized rationale that would help that farmer understand how that seed would react despite the name, just given off these physical and chemical characteristics that we can understand how it will operate under his practices. And I wanted to focus primarily on nitrogen application. Now, for this basis, there are a few concepts that we've understood with past research that we know apply to this and lead us into it. So new cotton cultivars, the yield improvement is the main goal, and that is met by increased lint percentage of the cotton itself and decreased seed mass. In other words, more lint per bowl while the seeds are smaller. In order to do that, we have these smaller seed sizes, and if you have a smaller seed, we understand that you have a smaller nitrogen sink. In other words, there are less places within that bowl for that nitrogen to go that are going to be lost other than to lint, which we actually want. So the smaller the seed, the smaller the nitrogen sink, which I have represented right there. Beyond that, other physical and chemical characteristics would be things like protein percent of a cotton seed itself. Now, that protein percent, the higher protein content of that seed, we're going to need more carbon during the nutrient process that is going to be partitioned into the seed as opposed to being used for intra-bowl processes that yield more lint. So basically, we need to understand how protein calculates into this, not just seed size. And then finally, we've understood that larger seeds with more kilocalories for that seed mass itself have a better seedling vigor. So in other words, we have larger seeds that have more calories. They allow that plant to establish very well, very early on, have a better root system, maybe better use resources and nutrients. So despite the fact that the seed is larger, which would mean a more nitrogen sink, it's better off early on in the season. So looking at these different things, it led us to want to perform and research this. So it brings me to my hypothesis today, which seed physical and chemical characteristics will influence crop growth and development in addition to yield response to rates of applied nitrogen by altering the within bowl yield components. Now, for this, to actually understand this hypothesis, we had two objectives. The first being basically to quantify seed characteristics in regards to the early season vigor. We wanted to make sure of that. Secondly, was to quantify the in-season growth and development. Not only that, but the maturity, the yield components in responses of the chosen cultivars to nitrogen management strategies across the board. Now, for this, we screened 23 different cultivars, and we selected down to six that provide a pretty good representative view of those cultivars that are commercially available. With that said, as I have right here, this is a photo of scale relative to each one for these different cultivars. We have three of them by Delta Pine, 1538, 1646, and 1747. We have one Phytogen 340, and then we have the Stoneville 5020 and 6182. Just so you can understand what I'm saying by these are representative of the different parameters, we have minimum and maximum values here, such as the 1646, it is the smallest seed in this study, whereas Stoneville 5020 is the largest. Again, different forms or different impacts on the nitrogen sinks. Beyond that, looking at protein, we again have the smallest being 1747, the highest protein content, again important to carbon partitioning. The highest protein content is phytogen 340. Beyond that, oil, for the highest one, it's back to 5020, whereas the lowest now is 1538. And for kilocalories, which is important to the seedling vigor in regards also to the size of the seed, the lowest would be 1646. It's the same as 1747, with the highest being 5020. So 5020 is a very large seed. You should be able to understand that from these values. It has a lot of energy. It's an energy dense seed, and we're going to see how that plays out for this growth study. All right, so to understand the experimental site that we have chosen for this, it takes place at the UGA Lang Rigdon Research Farm in Tifton. It's a 1.1 hectare field. It is under center pivot irrigation. We have six cultivars, those that I just showed you. This is the plot layout at the top right hand side, color coordinated, that goes across six nitrogen application rates. Those range from 0 to 150 pounds per acre. On top of that, we have four replicates, but to give you a better idea of this, let me change the aerial photograph and you'll see how the field layout goes and the four replicates that we have for this study so that we could perform proper statistics on this. I'll get to that shortly, but how these cultivars played out for these different nitrogen rates. Now, for standard crop management, as far as growing this cotton like you would anyway, the planting date, it was all May the 2nd. We had a seed rate, three seeds per foot. It was actually a little bit more than three. But the other takeaway from this is the fertilization itself. You'll see it in the picture there. We had a two-row Gandy. We were able to fertilize two rows at a time. We had two separate fertilization dates, the first one being triple superphosphate and potash, 585 pounds, and then a small amount of pre-plant nitrogen followed up later on the third, with the side dress to meet those nitrogen rates of 155 pounds or 150 pounds and the other target rates that we wanted. Now, as far as the data collection that we went through during the growing season, we started off at 14 days. So at 2 weeks, we took stand counts of these different plots. Beyond that, 3 to 5 weeks, we did plant count. Now, at this point, this was destructive. We pulled those plants from that plot. It was important later on. We measured height, we measured nodes, and we actually used the leaves off of these plants that we took from the field, calculate leaf area. And of course, we dried them so we could have dry weight values by leaf and stem. After that, we had first flower to cut out. We measured again height nodes. This was non-destructive at this point. And then nodes above white flower so we could understand maturity. Later on, first cracked bowl, so NACB. And then finally, during time of harvest, we had the yield. We sent it off for HVI fiber quality. We had the yield components that we could calculate and derive from this. We had plant, we had bowl count, and we calculated lint percent, and then we used 500 seeds to calculate a weight that will be used in calculations later. And it's important to note that for the data analysis, what we wanted to do with this was run or perform mixed effects analysis of variance with post hoc LSD means. Now that brings me to yield results. This is the main goal of cotton production as a farmer sees it. So with yield results, the mixed effects that we wanted to study were cultivar, nitrogen rate, and an interaction between those two. By looking at yield in kilograms per hectare of these six different cultivars, we see that it was significant. It was affected by cultivar, whereas yield was also affected by nitrogen rate, given that p-value seen in the ANOVA table up top. However, the interaction between those two was not affecting yield. I'll get to that later, but this is just a representation so that you can understand how these cultivars actually performed in terms of yield. You'll see that 1646, and it's worth noting that Stoneville 5020, which you see on the right hand side, were essentially the same. They were the highest as far as yield, and it's important to note that again, 1646 was the smallest seed that we picked out of these six cultivars, whereas Stoneville 5020 was the largest. Now, since there was an effect of nitrogen rate on this, we looked at lint yield as a form of the fertilization itself, and you'll see for our six different nitrogen rates applied from 0 to 150, we had a steady increase. The more nitrogen we threw at this cotton, the more it yielded. I'll get to that later, but it's just important to show you that representation. Now, to understand why we were able to reach these levels of yield or why they happened for these cultivars, we wanted to look at yield components. So the top portion of this table above that line that you'll see is yield components, whereas below the line, the bottom four, from length to uniformity, those are fiber quality parameters. Now, it's easy to understand that throughout this entire table, everything was affected by a cultivar that we measured. However, not everything was affected by nitrogen rate or the interaction between. Only a few were affected by nitrogen rate, and then even fewer were affected by cultivar and N rate. And those were limited to fiber seed, lint weight per seed, and fiber density. So intrabole processes that I'll cover on shortly. But by looking at LSD means, which is not shown in this PowerPoint by the sheer size of the table, it was able to understand that yield was an effect of really boles per hectare. That it answered for a lot of the changes that we saw between these. So moving on, by showing you boles per hectare, again, 1646 and Stoneville 5020 had the highest yield. They also had the highest as far as bole counts go, whereas 1747 did not do so well. Well, it also lacked as far as boles per hectare. So it was not there as far as boles to even harvest. So to understand why these boles and we reach these numbers like this, we look back and we want to back up to early season vigor. We want to start at the beginning of the growth season. So by looking at stand counts, we understood, more kilocalories per seed. We should understand that that would be a better early season vigor. However, this was only affected by cultivar. Given this ANOVA table on the top left-hand side, it was not a function of nitrogen rate, and it was not a function of cultivar and N rate. So just looking at cultivars, we understood that they all did fairly well as far as having a proper stand count. It wasn't limiting at this point. But moving on to these other ones that were measured at 21 and 35 days after planting, again, we see the same thing where they were all affected by cultivar and not N rate nor the interaction between the two. But we can see where 5020 at this point starts to excel almost like we thought it would as far as height and nodes. It was the largest plant we had in the field, had the most nodes, the most dry weight. So looking at how these plants are now that we know what's in the field, how are they maturing? What are the rates? We looked at nodes above white flower, nodes above cracked bole. It was important to note that they were affected by cultivar, but then nodes above cracked bole was affected by N rate. To see a representation of that, we can look at this graph for nodes above white flower, and you'll understand that the fastest maturing, which is going to be the lowest line shown in this graph, was the 5020. So not only does it have the largest plants, it's maturing the quickest. Delta Pine was, they were all grouped basically around the same, whereas 6182 was the last one for this. But then you move on from white flower to cracked bole, and you'll see that 1747, which had the least amount of yield, took the longest, whereas these other ones started maturing a lot faster. And we harvested at 126 days after planting. So we almost cut off 1747 a little shy of where it should have been as far as waiting for it to actually get to three nodes or less above that cracked bole. Now, looking at it as a form of N rate, just to show you, while this graph may look confusing, I just wanted to point out that the red solid line you see at the bottom left is zero, whereas the dotted green line at the top is going to be 150. So there was somewhat of an interaction of nitrogen rate affecting these. So from 0 to 50, we changed it as far as maturity. There was more, it took longer to mature. So this leads me to general conclusions for this. 5020 and Delta Pine 1646, they had the highest yield despite being so different as far as physical and chemical characteristics, with the exception of protein. They were both around 35%. N rate did increase yield. Cultivar did affect yield, but yet no cultivar by nitrogen rate interaction affected yield. So that could have been because of intrabole processes where we saw that slight interaction. Maybe they were interacting at different levels, which almost canceled it out in terms of yield, which we couldn't identify at this point by looking at just these statistics of this for this year. But yield difference primarily associated with bole count, and intrabole processes were affected again. So for future considerations of this research, we want to look at non-limiting in conditions. So maybe putting on more nitrogen so that we do see a limiting effect. And then of course, increase plot length and number of repetitions so that whenever we harvest those meters out, we have more plants to work with. Now, I have any time for questions.
Well, it's the last presentation section, but there's more presentation going on in 5, so we don't have time for questions. Let's give a hand for